We've been talking about the church that Jesus built. Ah, that is really tangled up. I'm not using that one. If one of you guys could grab a music stand and bring it up, that'd be awesome. We've been talking about the church that Jesus built. We talked about how the church is the bride of Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, and then last week, remember what we talked about? The church is the what? Yes! Well done. No, I'm good. I don't have that much stuff, bro. So that is like the nicest jersey I've ever seen. Like, that's really sweet. All right. So I'm super excited about the game. Okay. Why did I wake up like really happy today? I feel like it's not spiritual. Like I repent somehow that I'm excited about the game. But I'm just going to blow all that off and go, no, we're good. In fact, today we're going to have a Super Bowl party here. I'm not sure if I'm more excited about the game or the party. But don't miss that at 3 o'clock. Okay, so we've been talking about the church. Last week we talked about the body of Christ and how, you know, everybody has a part to play, right? And we looked all through. We dissected 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul says there are different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit, and there are different kinds of servings, is what we looked at the Greek there. It's different kinds of servings, but the same Lord, and there are different kinds of workings. Word there is for forgings, but the same God who works all of them in all men. And so we looked at the fact that, you know, there's different places we serve. There's different ways that we all have different gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, and you know, there are different things that we create and build, but the same Lord. And so we talked about how the church is the body of Jesus Christ, meaning if Jesus is going to go places, we got to go places, right? Because we're his body. For him to get there, we got to get there, right? We're his body. The reason why he called us the body is because the body has many parts, but also for him to move and animate and be present, we got to move, animate, be present. Make sense? We're the body of Christ. That's different than bride. Bride's about intimacy, relationship. Body's about how we function, what we do. So for Jesus to do things, the church needs to move. And so then, if you remember, we talked about last week how the body of Christ. So we did a bunch of work through 1 Corinthians 12, and then we said, how is the body of Christ like a football team? And that was a really fun discussion, okay? And then I saw a video this week of the Seahawks during last week's game, and I wanted to show it to you this morning and ask the question again. Ask the question again. As you're watching this, how is the body of Christ like a football team?
If you withstand the storm, a miracle can wash away all that came before it.
That sun's coming out today. That sun's coming out today. Oh, Nelly.
As Brad Nestor says, oh, Nelly. How about the weather? How about the game? Get to play the Green Bay Packers. Man, God is good, man. Don't get any better than that, man.
Hey. We work for it every day. It's no different, man. Goals go 1-0. Just dominate. Let's be focused. Let's play for each other. Let's play together. Let's play for these fans tonight.
We got heart. We got heart. We got heart.
One play at a time now. Just 6-0. Just 6-0.
The Packers were no pushover.
The Packers really have scouted the Seahawks well, and their defense is playing well right now.
In the first half, Russell Wilson targeted Jermaine Kearse 3 times. He fell victim to 3 interceptions and an illegal hit.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. He didn't get me that good. He thought he did. Yeah, let's go. Come on. Yeah, I'm good.
Here it is. Looking downfield. Pump fakes again. Steps up, scrambles, throws the end zone. He's got a touchdown to Randall Cobb.
You know, Cobb lined up initially on the left side, ran an in pattern, and the Seahawks just kind of lost him.
And the Packers have stretched their lead. Green Bay has just dominated.
Green Bay's downpour continued.
Hey, you know, the score is only 16-0. That's all the score is. Doesn't matter what all the other stuff's going on.
All the that had happened. They only got 16 points.
That's the best they got, bro.
You know what I'm saying? All that happened.
Let's go, man. It's about how you bounce back. How you bounce back from adversity. Let's go.
Hey, we just got to stay in the timeline. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I got to go for it.
I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting. Let's go. Hey, we got to stay in attack mode. It's the playoffs. Let's got to go for it, man.
Just 16-0. Just 16-0. That's it.
Third and 19 from the Green Bay 48. Russell's still looking. Still looking.
Oh, look.
Now he fires. He's got Doug Baldwin leaping to make the catch.
The play was called Charlie Brown. John Ryan played the role of Lucy.
Smoke. And went for the fake field goal, and it worked to perfection. John Ryan is a really good athlete. Fakes the field goal, gets to the outside, and there's Gilliam, the former tight end, makes the nice, easy catch in the end zone for the touchdown.
The beast won't get. The beast won't get. The beast won't get.
Oh, me?
That's not the beast I know.
As the second half rolled on, Seattle began feeding its beast, and he chewed off a couple of beauties.
First down, Seattle, and the offense begins to crank it up.
Yet when Russell Wilson threw to Jermaine Kearse, it was still ugly.
Deflected! Intercepted by Martin Burnett! Off the hands of Jermaine Kearse! Seahawks just can't win for losing.
We moved the football, but when you turn it over like that, it's like you didn't move the football.
He had 7 interceptions during the regular season and 4 this afternoon in the NFC Championship game.
And we can still win this game. Now stay in it. 4 minutes, 50 seconds. Let's go.
What do you think about that? What do you think about the go ball? Be ready on that.
Which
one? The last one?
Mm-hmm.
If he goes out there again, I'm going to come to you.
That's all, bro.
I'm right by him.
For 56 minutes, the Seattle Seahawks had seen text. What happened in the next 2 minutes and 19 seconds was either magic or witchcraft.
Looks like he might have stepped out of bounds.
Third down at goal. The play fake. Wilson's going to step in untouched. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Let's go. Big time play. Hey, big time play. You're a big time play.
You got to believe they're going to try for an onside kick here.
The Packers have their hands squat on the field.
There it is. Bounces high. Seattle has a chance of bouncing around. The Seahawks got it. The Seahawks have it in midfield. Coming out. Is Chris Matthews.
Brandon Bostic got to make that catch.
And Seattle has life.
My stomach just got a whole lot more nervous.
We don't have enough antacid. My goodness.
Hand over, bro. Let's go. Come on. Let's go win it. Let's go attack the ball now. Good hitting. Good touch.
Russell Reed keep. He's got it on the right side. He's got the first down and more. Down inside the 40-yard line.
The two-point conversion.
Russell's going to roll right. He looks, man in his face. Still looking. Going to throw it up in the back of the end zone. He looks for help. There's Luke Wilson.
He's got a shot at
him. He makes the catch. Yeah. And now the Seahawks lead 22-19. Can you say comeback?
Let's go.
The Packers had just over a minute to tie things up.
Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick to the uprights. And it is good! The Packers have tied the game at 22.
And we will go to overtime in Seattle.
Knock him back! But 7 power. Alert, nickel 95. Come on, quick.
Russell Wilson had thrown 5 passes to Jermaine Kearse. 4 had been intercepted. With the NFC Championship at stake, the Seahawks quarterback audible to him once again.
37 power. Be ready. Hey, check 50, check 50. Hey, yo, Friday, Friday. Start.
Wilson takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl. What a catch in the end zone. It is Kearse. They are going nuts at CenturyLink.
Man, I know you told you it's made for it. I know you told you. God made me for it, man. God made me for it, man. Man, oh man.
Did you hear what he was saying? God made me for it. God made me for it. Okay. How is the church like a football team? I mean, this is pretty incredible. Everybody's heard the story about Russell Wilson crying at the end of the game, right? Did you hear why? Huh? In an interview, he said the reason why I was crying was because the night before I had prayed that if we won, that we would only win in a way that it would give God glory, that it would be a miracle. So that's how the church is meant to function. Right? We have what seems like an insurmountable mission, an insurmountable goal. Who can win the world for the kingdom of God? Can you do it? Absolutely not, unless God shows up and does miracles. We step out, we fight, you know, and we give it our best and we trust God. Right? And then he shows up and does the miracles. That's why the Apostle Paul said, not many of you were wise. 1 Corinthians 1. Not right before this chapter 12. Not many of you are wise. Not many of you of noble birth. And not many of you were had great influence in the world. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. See? And I just love it. There's a great picture there of how the church is meant to function. Last week, we looked at several different things on this list. You know, we all play different positions, and we went through those in 1 Corinthians 12. Some positions are more glamorous, but not more important, right? It's interesting on that point. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, the passage says the parts that seem weaker are what? Do you remember what he says? Indispensable. The parts that seem weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, Paul says, we treat with special honor. What's he saying is God is maybe cheering for the water boy more than he's cheering for the quarterback. Right? That's true in the church. Some positions are more glamorous, but God's cheering for the water boy more than he's necessarily cheering for the quarterback. And that's important to remember when we're stepping into being a part of the body of Christ and moving the ball forward. Without all the positions present, the team is toast. We talked about that last week. We talked about we all need to be coordinated to move the ball forward. Mark Roddy, second hour, mentioned, yeah, Jesus is our head coach. You know, and then God appoints these different positions. You know, the head coach calls the plays, or calls the strategy, but then there's a quarterback that's calling plays, and the different parts of the team, they move forward, they function, they play their part, and that's the same way the church is meant to function. Sometimes you have to punt. Okay? You know, I think that was they had 4 interceptions. I love the commentator. They've had 7 interceptions the entire season and 4 today. You know, the 4 interceptions, you know, we are in a spiritual war. Scripture tells us. There is an opponent. We do take losses, don't we, as a church? You know, we do, but we don't quit. We don't quit. What did Russell kept saying? I'm sitting in the back row, and I'm going, oh, it was lost. And Russell's on the bench, the sidelines, going, we're only down 16. We're only down 16. You know, we're not, gosh, we're down 16. No, we're only down 16. We got this. The biggest crack up was, we got four more minutes, you know. We can win this. And I'm like, are you? But that's this seventh one. Winning requires a winning attitude. Winning requires faith. That faith that says, you know what? I might not be. It kind of goes to six. It takes practice to get it right. None of those players, there was a point in their life where they weren't that good. There's a point in their life where they had to really work at it and train. One of the number one things we heard last week when it said, why do I stay on the bench? Remember? We chatted at the end. We were like, why do people sit on the bench? Why do they not get involved in the church? Why do they not step in with their gifting? One of the reasons that Seth got texted when we said that text in your answer was, I don't have what it takes. If I stepped out, I would fail. And my response to that is, so? Doesn't everybody? Of course you're going to fail. And you're going to learn from it. Right? It takes everything that's worth doing takes practice. Right? The reason why the entire human race was plunged into the fall was because Adam stood there in the battle and did nothing. Passivity is the enemy of the church. Doing nothing, not plugging in, will give away the kingdom, right? So get in and fail. It's okay. You'll learn from it, and all you have to have is the faith to step out and step in. Winning requires a winning attitude. Is, you know, we saw that, of course, which is what the Bible calls faith, right? The sun's coming out today, Russell says. We got weather. We got the Green Bay Packers. God is good. It doesn't get any better than that. I love that opening line. And then when in the huddle, he says, we play for each other. We play for each other. You know, for the team to move, the individuals have to move, the fans are cheering, and we play for each other. You know, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews says. So just a reminder from last week, kind of reviewing. Now, at the end of that service, we play for each other, which is different from Western independent thinking, right? Westerners think it's about me, it's about my... You know, I got to do it on my own. But the church and the Bible, it's about pack think. We got to start thinking like a group. And then at the end of the service, I gave you this, okay? And I said, you know, how do you step in? And I said, look for a need, seek the Lord about it, and then step in and meet it. And then slowly move in the direction of your gifting. Often God gives us an assignment to hone our calling. I didn't like how I explained that. Okay, so I want to kind of do a little retraction or cleanup on that from last week. It was kind of at the end of the message. I was out of time. All right, so I said something like, God is moving you toward your calling. He's revealing your unique gifting and glory, and he will use these assignments along the way to get you to that. But the message of that I don't want to send is this, that it's all about your glory. And so serving in the church and serving the body of Christ is simply a way to move you toward your unique gifting. Right, I think that is wrong on several levels. One is it supports an individualistic approach to God, right, instead of a group approach, which is how the scripture is actually written. And that the function of the church is to serve you. Okay? That's Western. That is not God's thinking. Okay? It also minimizes the thing I do, serving the body of Christ, just relegating it to training ground rather than loving the bride of Jesus Christ. Like he does. When I get involved and I serve in church, I'm loving and serving the bride of Christ. John the Baptist, when everybody was going away from him and going to Jesus, somebody interviewed him, you know, the microphone. He's like, what do you think about, you know, everybody's going to Jesus now instead of you? You remember what he said? The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The best man or the friend of the bridegroom listens for the bridegroom's voice, and he is filled with joy. See, for John, he was willing to sacrifice any kind of applause, any kind of accolades, any kind of position to serve the bride of Jesus Christ because he's serving his best friend. Doing that. When you love the bride, you love Jesus. And so when I serve and I get involved, right, I do it because I'm a friend of God. When we're friends of God, we love his bride because he loves his bride. Right? Not because it's just a training ground for us to grow. Now, we do have a unique gifting. The story, we don't want the pendulum to swing over here and go, it's not about me, I'm nothing, it's all about the bride, individuals are nobody, you know. No, that's inconsistent with Psalm 139, you're knit together in your mother's womb. Every hair on your head, Jesus said, is numbered. You're going to get a white stone in Revelation 2 with a new name for you. It's a very individual. Ephesians 1, you've been chosen, adopted. Galatians 4 says the plan of God is to restore you to the full rights as sons and daughters of God. And Romans 8 says all creation waits for the sons of God to be revealed. So it is, we do have a unique glory, but serving the body of Christ and taking our place in it and getting off the bench as a hand or an eye or an ear or a foot isn't so you can have individual glory. It's because you're part of Christ. Beth Clemens and I have been texting and emailing back and forth about this topic, and I love how she put it. She said, we're not glorious because we're a nose. We're glorious because we are a nose of the body of Christ. Right? Our first affiliation is not with our function, but with the one to whom we belong. Nailed it. Right? I want my sons, my daughters, and my family to find their unique glory and gifting. Right? I want them to. I want my son to find, is he supposed to be an engineer, an artist, or whatever? But last year we painted the house. And we're a family. And when we were working together to do that, washing paintbrushes and, you know, doing different stuff, it wasn't our glory to wash paintbrushes. It was our privilege as a member of this family. Does that make sense? See, these are not in conflict with each other. Your unique gifting and serving and being a part of the body. You're a member of a team. To get to move the ball down the field, we all have to pitch in. We'll have to work together. So I wanted to clarify all that because I felt like I left it loosey-goosey. But we're going to shift now to our big game. Okay, not the Super Bowl, but AC Adventure Church's big game. And it feels like we're preparing and gearing up for our own Super Bowl. In 4 weeks, we are going to begin dress rehearsals of church down there. Okay, in the new building. In 8 weeks, we're going to have our grand opening, okay? And lead team, as a member of lead team, BJ has been commissioned to sort of build a strategy for how that's going to go and sort of how are all the parts going to function. He's like calling the plays. He's the guy calling the plays on the sidelines. And so he has authority in this sort of strategic plan from the lead team, and we've asked him to come up today to kind of walk us through that, all right? And what are we going to do? What's the game going to look like? What's my part to play? So before he comes up, we're going to show a video of that to kick it off.
One more, Randy.
Thank you.
adventure is you fully alive. What that means is the greatest story ever told is a story about you. See, as I was reflecting back on the last 10 years that adventure has been here, even having an opportunity to go back over those verses that adventure was planted on, you know, looking back, and it's really cool to look back and see, yeah, God has answered that. Oh yeah, God said that he's come to give life abundant. And in that verse, John 10:10, this is a different version, but it's the same verse. It says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And the word full or abundant is the word parousos in Greek. And it means that abundant, over and above, more than is necessary. And as I was thinking about what that means for us, what that means for me personally, I started thinking again about the last 8 years that I've been here. And over the last 8 years, this is me and my family. All right, a lot has changed. I have 3 kids now. But as I was thinking about my journey personally, I started thinking about, you know, I accepted Christ when I was a child. And before I came to Adventure, I had a relationship with Jesus. I knew who God was. But the unique message that God has given Adventure is one of abundance, is one of full life. And it's the same message. It's about Jesus, absolutely. But there's a unique mission that God has given this church. And the way that's played out for me is before I came to Adventure, I didn't know what it meant to hear God. To hear God's voice. And through that last 8 years of me walking in that, I've received amazing transformation. Amazing transformation and abundance in my relationship with God and walking with God. And I knew there was warfare. I had read all the verses about spiritual warfare, but I didn't know what it meant for me to participate in that. What does it really mean to put on the full armor of God? What does it mean to engage myself in the battle? And out of that, all these things that I thought were my fault or I thought were God's fault, I started realizing, hey, there's an enemy in our story. And I've actually been equipped to fight that enemy. And then the next thing is I received amazing healing. You know, I came in when I was 21 is when I started. And just a young buck, I got married a month after I started at Adventure, and I had no idea what I was getting into at Adventure or in my marriage. And through the process of what God has done in and through this church and through walking with him, I've received tremendous healing. And most of that has come through this community. And my hope in showing you kind of the story of the last 10 years is that I really believe that God has used us, has used you and me to transform each other. That's what it looks like to be a family. That's how the church is like a football team, is that we're fighting for each other. And first off, thank you. Thank you for being involved in my story. But God is in a desperate pursuit of his people, of his community. And he wants every one of us to be experiencing abundance in every one of those areas. The church is founded on the four streams. It's nothing new. We've all heard it. But those four streams are walking with God, healing, warfare, and community. And we can't have abundance. We can't have that life to the full if we're not walking in each of these areas. If we're not walking with God. See, walking with God, this is John 15:5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In order to experience that abundance, we have to be walking with God. Healing. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. All of us have stories of that healing that's taken place. And that's life to the full. That's abundance as we experience that. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. this is one of the key foundations of adventure, that God has, we're not broken, we're not dirty, we're redeemed. He's given us a new heart. That's abundant life. Next is warfare. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. This authority that we've been given to actually stand up. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds." It wasn't until I realized these things and what that actually looked like that I began to experience more life, abundant life, and last community. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." Let us make mankind in our image. The community of the Trinity were created in that, and we experience that here in the body of Christ, and that's where our abundance has come from. And so God has created a powerful, powerful church. I think you guys can all agree. I mean, we've got to experience abundance on all levels. And it's a process. It's an ongoing journey of experiencing this life to the full. It's not like I have arrived and now I live the abundant life. But as we taste more and more of walking with God, we taste more and more of authentic, genuine community and step out in warfare, we experience more of that abundant life that God is talking about. And over the last 8 years, I can say every year I get to see more and more of the abundant life that God is talking about. And so our vision is to create an ever-expanding community that is fully alive in Christ and walking in the four streams. And what that means is this church. Everyone here is walking fully alive. And like Randy said, this is, you know, it's not about finding that thing. It's not about being the nose. It's about we become fully alive as a family. We become fully alive in the four streams, right? Every stream, we are becoming more fully alive and connected to Christ. It means in Duval. How are we reaching out to our neighbors? How are we reaching out to the people here and sharing the life, sharing the fullness of Christ that we're experiencing, and ultimately the world? And so that leads to the exciting part, Riverview School District building. Right down the street is the move, right? That's what we're talking about, because we set a goal. For those of you who haven't been around, we set a goal, a financial goal, to raise money so that we can take this step to move down there. And so, as Randy said, in 4 weeks, we're going to be down at the Riverview School District building, starting our first kind of dress rehearsal service. And basically the entire month of March will be those dress rehearsals. And that's for us to kind of get all our ducks in a row and get everything figured out. But some exciting things. Adventure's 10 years old. God has blessed us with an opportunity to reach even more people. See, the reason for the move isn't because God is not moving here. We know he is, right? We're experiencing life to the full. This is a vibrant community. But our mission, our vision goes beyond that. We need to reach our community. We need to reach the world with a message of abundant life, with healing and restoration. And so my question to you guys is, what could the next 10 years look like? How much more abundance will we experience as our community grows? What would the abundant life look like for the community of Duval? That's what gets me excited. Right? Imagine our community experiencing that abundant life, and then how we continue to reach his people with a message of abundant life. And so with that, I wanted to share it with you, kind of like our philosophy in moving forward. What's kind of the philosophy as we move forward, move down to the building, experience a lot of changes? We have all kinds of ministries and people involved. And so here's a couple things that we want to make sure we stay focused on as we move. So the first is, remember who God has said we are. We don't want to forget our identity. Our goal is not to move down and become a mega church. It's not about the church growing in size. It's about us expanding our mission. Sorry, can you guys see that? And then next says, God is drawing every person to himself. We've heard the last several weeks Randy has talked, and he's shared this verse, John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." God is drawing his people. God drew you here. He drew me here. He's drawing the people of this community to himself. And we're joining him on that mission. And God's heart longs to see the city of Duval fully alive. Every person, every individual that God is drawing, that's what he wants. And our mission is to create opportunities for people to respond to his drawing. You see, God is already drawing them. We offer them an invitation, but God is the one drawing them. God is the one offering the transformation, the healing. God is the one that brings us alive and brings the transformation. We just offer the invitation. We facilitate that process. And so we want to create opportunities for people to respond, and we want to remove all obstacles. See, there are lots of things that are obstacles in terms of someone responding to God's drawing. Now, your neighbor, for example, might feel drawing to come to Adventure. That might be God drawing them into a deeper relationship. And one of those obstacles might be as simple as they can't find a parking spot. Or there is so much congestion in our front little center entrance that they can't make it through. They're too intimidated. Or that when what they want most is deep community, and the only place to do that is the center aisleway after service, which is crowded with people constantly interrupting. And see, those are small obstacles, but they're obstacles. And one of the amazing blessings of this new building is obstacles like that have the opportunity to be removed. And we can remove them. And that's a huge blessing. And we can do so without losing who we are. And the last is, we want to use the move as an opportunity to be even more intentional about how we reach this community. God's drawing his people. We want to join him in that and be intentional. And so I want to introduce you guys to a new couple. They live in Duval, and their name is the Millers. All right, so meet the Millers. Okay, this is John and his wife, Stacy, and there are three children. They have Keaton, who is 8, Chelsea, age 4, and Annalise is age 1, all right? Now, this is a fictional family, all right? Obviously, they really exist because there's a picture of somebody. I just found it on the internet, all right? But for our purposes, they don't actually live in Duval, at least not that I know, all right? But here's some important things, okay? So as I was doing research, I was able to look at some city stats and census and things like that. And so the reason that his name is John Miller is because those are both among the top 5 most common names in Duval. Random interesting fact there, right? So John and his wife are around age 35, which is also it's the median age for our age group. Their kids are around the median age for the median family in Duval. And according to census, John works at Microsoft. And he's a software developer, all right? So right now, this is the most common profile that we can come up with for the city of Duval. So, but what I wanted to do was help us all to look at what is a family? What's the target? Who is God drawing in this community? Well, statistically speaking, he's drawing the Millers. And so what are we doing to actively participate in God's drawing, to actively participate in God's transformation, and how are we removing obstacles to make it easier for a family like the Millers, all right, to experience the transformation that God's offering, to become fully alive? And so what I wanted to do is I'm going to walk through kind of some pictures of the new building and some processes. Those processes are not completely locked down. Right now, every ministry leader is working through the specifics of what it will look like, but I want to share with you the overall vision. What is our target and what the Millers would feel? What is God trying to get them to experience? And we get to join them in that process. Now, are there other people than the Millers? Are there other age groups? Absolutely. This is just an example of a family. So let's take a look at that. So the first thing that God is doing is he's inviting them, right? He's drawing them. And so for us, all right, we want them to experience that invitation. And as I thought about the culture of Adventure, the number one thing that I've heard from people who have been invited, they didn't find out that, you know, I came to Adventure because I saw a website and I showed up. All right, now that happens, and maybe you're here because of that. But the most common thing that I hear when I talk to new people is, my friend just kept hounding me. They kept telling me, God is doing something big here. He's transformed me. I'm different. You have to see what's going on. See, the most common invitation from us is people are fully alive. And they're experiencing that, and they're sharing that with the people they love and they care about and the people they come in contact with. And so God is drawing, and we want to offer an invitation. And next is, I'm guided. And see, how many of you guys have ever driven to a new place, and during that process, you get lost, you get discouraged, right? And sometimes that's enough. It took you long enough to load your kids in the car, all right? You're already late, you're on your way, you can't find signs. Sometimes that's barrier enough to say, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going. And so we want to create a process that helps people feel guided, right? That makes it as simple as possible for someone to even find our church. And that could be all kinds of things. That could be additional signage. That could be website directions and all kinds of things like that. And so then when they get there, what do they experience? I'm provided for. And so it was pouring down rain. I'm pouring down rain. And I pulled up with my wife and kids in the van right by the front door, and I was just like, I'm going to let them out as soon as I can. I have young kids. And then as soon as I pulled up, our greeters, so Axel and Scott Hamas, just sprinted out and met me right in my car before I even opened the doors. They were holding an umbrella for my wife and actually helping carry my kids, like get them out of the car. And it was pouring down rain. They're soaked. They look like wet rats. And then as soon as they get my kids in, I'm driving my car to go park, and I see Axel sprint by me, and he's chasing down another car with an umbrella. What an incredible message of provision, right? Of showing God's love, chasing them down and saying, yeah, we care about you. God cares about you. We want to provide for you and make it as easy as possible. Next is, I'm seen. I didn't have to call out to them, hey guys, with the umbrella, come help me out. They sprinted out after me. How are we communicating to a family like the Millers that we see them, that they're unique, that they're important, that they have value? Next, imagine they're walking in and the experience they feel. Well, already we have amazing greeters that greet and welcome people. And the opportunities in the new building give us that we no longer have this, you know, tiny little area. We now have a huge foyer. That in itself is a miracle. I mean, that's a blessing. All right. Imagine a place you could stand around and actually talk to people without all of us constantly going in and out. Or imagine a new person coming in and they get to be greeted without a wall of people. I mean, how intimidating is that? And that is the reality of this building, and this building has been a tremendous blessing. And that's just the reality of where we've been. But what could the future look like? How could we greet a new family and have them have their experience be even better? And the message we want them to feel is, I belong. Every person who walks in is a person that God is drawing. How do we make them feel like they belong and they're not just another, you know, cow in a herd of people being directed through a process? They're an individual that God is pursuing uniquely and personally, and we want to join God in that process and help them feel that way. Next, as they walk in, they're in the lobby, and imagine there's all kinds of check-ins and things like that. Maybe they're checking in their children. And as a parent, I want to know I'm protected. My kids are protected. They're safe. You know, I want to know that everything's going to be okay, but I feel protected in the sense that I know what the process is, right? Sometimes we sign up for things or we go to things and we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that feeling, that nervousness of like, okay, I'm here, now what's next? That's nerve-wracking. That's awkward. I don't want to experience that. And so we want to make sure that process is as clear as possible, especially when I have little kids running around. So next, God has provided amazing opportunities and places down there. As we shared several weeks ago, initially we weren't going to be able to have our children down at that facility. God has changed that. That in itself is a miracle. I mean, as a parent, I want to know that my kids are close by. I want to know they're safe, they're protected. And so God has provided opportunities for that. And so our children's ministry has been working for months to come up with an amazing process. They're talking about live video feeds and all kinds of great things to help a parent like myself know that my kids are okay. But when imagine I'm dropping off my kids, the thing I want to know as a parent is I'm partnered with, right? I'm not alone in this. And and what my kids want to know is that I'm known. I want my kids, when I go up and I drop my kids off to our children's ministry program, I want them to experience Disneyland. I want them to, you know, throw their coat off and, bye, Dad, you know, and dive into the room because they're so excited about what God is doing. And they're like, there's something for me. I'm not a burden. I'm not being put off in some, you know, separate room while my parents go have a party, right? There's something for me, and it's exciting, and I want to be a part of it. We want to send a message, and our children's team is working, and they have some fantastic ideas for that. And when I drop off my young kids, I want to know that I'm supported. All right, so I have young kids. You saw the picture. You know, when I come in, I'm carrying, you know, one or two in my hands. I've got the, you know, big, awkward, like, baby carrier thing that are always way too heavy. And I'm carrying three bags, ones with diapers, spare clothes, you know, applesauce and fishy crackers. And I'm struggling in, you know, as I walk in, the first thing that I want is, honestly, somebody to help me offload some weight. And I want to know that I'm supported. And right now, my experience as I go downstairs here is I'm greeted by Tara, who has a huge smile on her face, who greets my kids, who knows my kids. And she kneels down, she gives them a big hug, smile, and she communicates to my children, you're wanted. Like, I'm excited to see you here. And she helps me, supports me, but as a parent, I feel supported in that. I feel loved in that. And our children's ministry is fantastic at that. How can we take it even further now that we have, you know, here, there's an intimidation factor of I have to walk down, you know, a tiny staircase and that barely fits two people going other ways. And if you have, any sort of baby carrying or anything like that, it's challenging. That's no longer an issue. So how can we continue to expand that experience of being supported? Next, some exciting things. All right. So one of the things that we've made announcements about in the last 10 years are about our restrooms that are all the way down at the bottom of the basement in the very back, and they look like restrooms from a 100-year-old building. All right, so in our new place, we have brand new, amazing restrooms, right? And the feeling we want to experience is I'm relieved. I got to the bathroom. I made it. And so I'm worshiping with my kids when my, you know, 4-year-old says, Dad, I need to go potty, and I pick him up, and I'm sprinting as fast as possible. Number one thing I want to know is, where are the restrooms? And how do I get to them as fast as possible? And so that's a great opportunity, but how can we even go beyond just having a great facility? How can we make it a place that where people feel welcomed? And this could be as simple as, you know, what would it smell like? What kind of things could we do to spruce it up even more? And next is the idea of having some sort of ministry area that has information. And it's not just a place. Like right now, we have, you can kind of see on the wall there, there's four slots, two flyers, all right? And that's kind of the spot where brochures and information go to die. It's the graveyard. And Michael was just telling me last week how frustrated he is at that little area in between because it constantly gets dirty. It's just a collection of stuff. And what happens is you can't actually get any information to anyone there. And so during the summer, we have booths lining the entire entrance, right, of people to get information or a place to sign up. All right, what if that wasn't the case? What if you went to a place that was actually large enough, which we have more than enough room, and there was a person greeting you or several people, you know, inviting, not just a place where you can go and browse this endless wall of information, but we want to send the message, I'm pursued. God is pursuing them. And so there's somebody there, a person you can talk to that has information, that has flyers, that has brochures. And it's not just this collection of outdated material. It's stuff that we can really invite people to. You know, maybe there's a men's retreat and there's somebody there that they're inviting. and we're drawing people into it. Next is one of my personal favorites, one of the things that I'm most excited about. The idea of community. Like I said, last week we had a meeting after service, which happens quite often. We'll have Sunday meetings. And so there's this big group of people that are all meeting in here doing community, right? We're all fully alive in community, so we love actually talking to each other. Great. That's good. But what happened was we have this meeting after, and so we're rolling out tables, we're rolling out chairs, and we're literally pushing people out of the way as we do it. And the message is, stop doing community. We're trying to have a meeting here. Now, none of us actually said that, but that's what's happening. We're literally physically pushing them out of the way in order to set up for this meeting. And so what if there was a place, and what I've imagined is this, you know, kind of coffee house environment, right? Maybe there's tables set up, there's cookie, there's coffee, there's drinks, there's whatever. And this is a place where we can actually go, and it's designated for the purpose of community. And the message it sends is, I'm loved, right? There's freedom, and there's time, and there's location for you to just talk with your friends, to meet with people. And I imagine not like a cafeteria environment, but kind of the feel of a coffee house where there's small, intimate places, big enough for everyone, but kind of intimate sections where you can sit down with some friends. Imagine sitting next to a fireplace with, you know, friends and, you know, sipping coffee or tea. That's the idea I have in my head. Now, the reality is we don't have a team that's building this yet, but this is an idea. What if instead of all of us meeting in these tiny little aisles, we had room enough that's about the size of this sanctuary right now to just hang out, to just meet and experience the community, to become fully alive in the community? What an amazing opportunity that would be. And I don't have to get pushed outside and stand in the rain to do it, right? How amazing is that? So next, worship. Nick and his team have done an amazing job of drawing us into the presence of God. How can we go even further with that? We want to continue to make opportunities for people to experience the presence of God. They're already being drawn. How can we facilitate that process even more? What would it look like? What could we experience? What kind of lighting and environment? Now, this is a very intimate place. This is an intimate building. Down there, it's not. It's a big gym. How can we still have the feel that we love and enjoy and be intentional about what we experience during worship? Next is youth. What kind of environment do we have for our youth? The number one thing that a teenager wants to experience is that they belong, that they're not just an offshoot. Now, the funny thing is teenagers are constantly pushing us away saying, I want independence, but what they really want is they want to belong to something. And so we want to continue to create an environment. And so our youth team has talked about the idea of having greeters there, having a specific area. Imagine the youth having sitting front and center, and that being an intentional thing that they offer and saying, you know, you're part of this family. You're part of this community. We want to have an experience. You know, come join us in worship. And so they're still building all kinds of things there. And second to last is, what's our service experience? You know, how do we offer a transformation experience for those that come, the new people, the Millers? What do they experience during our service time? How does offering work? How does our service look like? What kind of times do we offer? Those things like that. The last is another idea that doesn't currently fully exist, but I think we're all excited about it, and the idea of prayer. And so an idea that we've been tossing around is having this room dedicated to prayer actually during the service. And so there'd be a team of intercessors, people praying for everyone in the service during the entire message time. And they'd be praying. And then after the message, after the service, that would be a place that could be opened and people could go up and receive prayer. And it would be a place where I could go into. It's not the front of the stage. It's a place where I can go and I know I'm defended. People are going to be praying for me, but I also know it's okay for me to be a mess. I don't have to have it all together, right? I'm going to meet with God and people that are defending me. And so as we wrap up, I just want to run through some details of what it would look like. So first off is Sunday, March 1st will be our first service in the new building. And so this is something we're not advertising to the overall public. This is for us. This is our the beginning of our dress rehearsals, right? So it's going to start with only one service. That service will take place at 10:30. And then as God continues to grow our community, we'll again return to multiple service times. And so, as we said before, every Sunday in March will serve as a dress rehearsal for our church body. All right, so what this means is by March, we want to have as many things as possible figured out by March 1st. When we start March 1st, we're going to go down there and we're going to be playing with new sound equipment, new experience, you know, all our signs and everything like that, getting everything set up. It's a new process. And so together as a body, we're going to go through this dress rehearsals, and it might not go super smooth, and that's okay. We are a church body. We're a family, right? Sometimes when we run through a process for the first time, it's not always smooth, and that's okay. But we want to continue to grow and have opportunities for feedback as we continue that process. And then what we'll be doing is we're advertising Easter, which is April 5th, to the community, and that will be our grand opening. So what we want to offer is Easter service will be the main performance, right? And the idea is not that we are offering a big performance, right? But it's that we are together as a family. We're being intentional about offering something that joins God in drawing the people of this community. And so our goal will be to have everything figured out by Easter and to have something big and exciting to kick that off. And so every ministry team has been asking God how they can be even more effective in reaching this community. And so they're already dreaming about stuff. They're coming up with ideas. Like I said, today I'm sharing with you more the overall vision rather than specifics, but those will come, right? And so I want to offer something to you guys. How can I get involved? And so the first is pray. We need prayer. Absolutely, we need prayer. And first is pray that God would give our leadership wisdom. Like I said, every ministry leader is making a plan right now to be even more intentional. And we're pretty good at it here, but everything's changing down there. And so pray that we can have wisdom to make those decisions. Pray that God would unite our body towards our common mission. You know, we are a family. We want our family to be involved in that process. And the reality is we have lots of holes that we need to fill. And we need everyone in the body to join us in that. We want to be continuing pushing forward in this mission. Pray that God would grow our community for his glory. You know, we want to reach out. God is drawing everyone in Duval, and we want to continue to join him in that. And then last is ask God who he wants you to personally invite to our grand opening. See, like I said before, the invitation has most often come from people in our community that are experiencing abundant life. And they're saying, no, God is doing something big. Come check it out. And maybe you want to do more than that. So the next offer is join in. So join the family. If you're not a member of Adventure, if you're not a member of this family, we'd love to offer that. And so in a couple weeks, Jeff can offer another membership class. And we celebrated some new members last week. And so we'd love to invite you to join Adventure family. And you can fill out a connection card and then put that in the back. Next, join a current ministry team. So if this whole process of visioning and dreaming about new things going on got you really excited about what a particular ministry is doing or could be doing, you can look in your bulletin. There's a whole list of ministry leaders and leadership. And if you can't see one there, you can contact Patty about getting information to join them. Next is join a new team to handle areas that are not yet covered. And so there's actually a sign up in the back. It just says, join us. Randy's holding it up. It's on a clipboard. All right, so like I said, there's areas that are not covered, and those areas are that coffee shop community area. There's not currently a ministry team that would handle that because we don't have it here. We have people that make coffee for us. Thank you. But we don't have anything to set that up. The ministry information area, the idea of having an intentional place where we can pass information out, we don't have that. We don't have a college and career group. Maybe God is stirring you to get involved in one of these areas. And so with all that, I'm going to invite Randy up to help close. But the whole point of all of this is God is doing huge things. He is giving us, we are growing more and more and experiencing abundant life. And That's the mission God has us all on. And this is one step closer, one step further in that abundance.
Awesome. Thank you. That's good. Yes. Awesome. Well done. Fantastic job. What I love about, am I on? What I love about what BJ shared was it's through the lens of somebody who doesn't necessarily go to church, but it's through the lens of God's heart to reach out to people, to vet everything through, even our service times. Instead of looking at service time choices, because there's tons of there's lots of different options, right? Instead of looking at those through the lens of, well, what would I like our service time to be, because what's most convenient for our family, to ask the question, what's most convenient for the Millers? And that's a shift, right, in our thinking. And that's a shift from individual think, John Wayne, to pack think. Thinking like the church, thinking like a team. And so I love it. Thank you so much, BJ. Just you might be thinking to yourself, I'm the kind of person, I love to individually contribute. I want to be given a task. I want to see that task accomplished. I want to walk away and say it's done. And you love that. You have that feeling. You want to see, you like mowing the lawn because you like seeing it done, right? And some of you are people who are like, I like dreaming and pulling people together to accomplish a goal. I like the sort of director role, and that's where I'm gifted. Then if, depending on your wiring, your makeup, think about that coffee area. Think about the different ministries. You might be the person that goes, I'll take on building that and creating that. So talk to BJ. There isn't a list of ministry leaders in the bulletin today. We that's an oversight. So if you have a passion for anything BJ talked about and you want to plug in, talk to him. He'll be in the back. Okay, and at this point, we're going to have Jeff come up and do our, I think we've got one announcement. First, a video. We're going to, our video announcement, so let's roll that.
There is a legend of an undiscovered country full of adventure, of encountering the unexpected, of seeking the heart of God. It's time to start your journey.
This summer, Lifeway invites you to come with us off the map and into uncharted territory.
Jesus will be our guide in this journey off the map, an adventure where we begin to understand that obedience to God can lead us beyond the expected.
Each day, you'll gather at the Overlook to kick off your journey with high-energy worship.
After that, it's off to the Tangled Branch Treehouse to study the Book of Daniel. Or rush over to the Shady Grove to get your creative juices flowing.
Visit Boulder Bridge and learn where God is at work across the world.
And when you're craving a snack, there's always something cooking at Survival Springs.
Or pick up and carry a tune at Rushing Waters Music.
Each study, activity, craft, everything about Lifeway's VBS is designed to be age-appropriate. Even down to the music. Your kids will be singing these all-original tunes all summer long.
Watch short movies introducing biblical themes. Awesome games that teach. Decoration tips on how to turn your classrooms into an adventure.
And all this fun is centered around learning about Jesus. You'll hear about Daniel and discover that when you're faced with the unexpected, you can always listen for God's direction.
This summer, let's seek God as our ultimate guide in life's journey off the map.
Take your...
Woo! Hey, I'm excited about that. My kids still sing the song. Well, they could sing the songs. They don't sing them, but they remember the songs and the experiences of VBS when they were kids and they're in their teens. If you have kids or grandkids, preschool to fifth grade, this is an awesome opportunity coming up this summer. Heather's going to be in the back with a clipboard and more information about what that will look like for your kids. Sign them up. And also just want to say, come back here at 3 to celebrate the Super Bowl together as a community, as a family. We're going to make it fun. We're going to have some jerseys that we're giving away during halftime and some footballs and hats. So come back here for that party and be together with the family. Also, just real quick, on your way out, there's giving reports back there. You can save the church a stamp by just looking alphabetically back there if you've given to Adventure Church this year, and get those for your taxes. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you this afternoon. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks!
So we got a game. 8 minutes back. Let's grab Nick. Maybe you and I, Nick, go.
He is jealous. Loves like